You know, the last several weeks we've been talking about outreach and what that means and why we need to do that. So it's time for a quiz. Are you ready? No. Gary says no. You fail. Outreach, what is it?
Reaching out.
Reaching out. Okay. Going out? Let me clarify the question a little bit. Maybe that'll help. Outreach in regards to Christianity through our church. What does that mean?
Sharing Christ with others.
Sharing Christ with others. Good. Other answers? And there's way more than one right answer here. Any others? What are some ways we do that? It?
Feeding.
Just yell it out. Anybody? We had two together there. Sounded like cookies to me. Cookies, okay. I like that one.
Missions. Yeah.
Missions.
Praise.
Praise.
Newsletter.
Newsletter.
Prayer.
Prayer.
VBS.
VBS, good.
Movie night.
Movie night. We have a lot of different ways to do outreach. Who is our outreach trying to reach? All. I like that one. Any other answers to that?
Our
neighbors. Let me rephrase the question a little bit. What is your outreach? Who is your outreach trying to reach?
Everybody.
Co-workers.
Students.
Good.
Family.
It's endless, isn't it? Ed said it in one little word, all. Trying to reach all. As I was putting my message together, I thought, I spoke with Bill about it, about how to do this little skit, kind of, and to where, well, let me ask you one more question. What kind of outreach scares you the most? You have the most fear about doing it. Certain way of doing outreach, whatever that might be. You have an answer to that? You can be honest here. We're among friends.
Knocking on doors.
Knocking on doors. Yeah. Ed?
Rejection.
Rejection. Okay. Of anybody. Well, I was going to do a little skit about knocking on doors, Benita, since you mentioned that. And all the different responses we probably will get. We see it when we just go Christmas caroling. There will be a few people that open the door and have joy all over their face and join in singing with us. There's even one lady up there last year. She followed us all the way around the complex up there at the senior center. Just loved it. And then you go knock on that next door. Hello? Door slammed in your face.
If they answer.
They turn the light off. Yes, they don't even answer the door. There's all kinds of responses. Well, as I started thinking about that and was going to do a little skit as far as knocking on doors, and then I got to listening to Frank's message last week, Bill's message the week before. I didn't worry about listening to Gary's 4 weeks ago because nobody remembers it anyway. And I thought, no, we need to talk a little bit more about that fear. The fear of going out and sharing Jesus Christ with others. Now, let's be honest today. We all have it. Maybe some more than others. But we all have that fear of rejection, of whatever it might be. But we all have it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. So no skit. Maybe next week or some other time. I want to go to I'm going to start off that's a little bit backwards maybe here. Kind of start with the summary. And then we'll end with that also. The summary of this entire message, hopefully, will be we all need to be more faithful to witness for Jesus. And the Lord will help us to do it. He's told us he will. Jesus will help us overcome, number one, our inadequacies. Number two, our inhibitions. Number three, our inexperience. And number four, our indifferences. Let's open a word of prayer. Father, I just ask this morning that you would just be using me to help communicate your word this morning. Lord, I pray that each one sitting in the pews this morning, in the chairs, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to receiving this word about going out as you've commanded us to do. And yet the fear and the resistance that we have in wanting to do that. So, Lord, we look to you this morning to change our hearts to serving you completely. Amen. We're going to look in John, and this sounds like it might be a little bit weird kind of story to go to in the Bible as far as talking about outreach. We're going to go to John 4:24 through 42, and that is the story of the woman at the well. Now you're thinking, where in the world is the outreach story in that? Well, we're going to find out. See, story is of a Samaritan woman whose life has just been broken completely. She's been married 5 times and now is living with another man outside of marriage. The woman is just scorned by her neighbors, the people in the town, and she's just broken to her sin completely. But then one day, she went to the well. She met Jesus. She found out that Jesus knew all about her past, her troubles, her life, but that he still cared for her. Jesus talked with her and showed concern for her. He treated her with compassion and respect. Jesus cared so much for this woman that he even gave her the living water of everlasting life. What about somebody like that that was in our community, in our circle, in our whatever? How would we treat her? Or maybe the question is, how do we treat that person? This little woman's life was changed forever when she met Jesus. She was saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. And she rushed back to town to tell everyone how Jesus had changed her life. Has Jesus changed your life? Then you have a story to tell. Just like the Samaritan woman, you have a story to tell. Let's go through that scripture a little bit. We'll start in verse 24. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm just going to read through it real quick. John 4:24. Then Jesus said, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, the disciples came and they marveled, and he talked with the woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the man, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. Christians, we need to be like this woman. Maybe not in her lifestyle, but in her witness. We all do need to be more faithful to the witness for Jesus. Howard Hendricks once said, "In the midst of a generation screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering." Isn't that so true? Bill Bright was the founder of Campus Crusades for Christ. He was also responsible for the Jesus film. Maybe many of you have seen that. I don't know. Which has been seen by over 1 billion people worldwide. Bright's organization once helped in a survey of millions of believers. Sadly, they found out that 98% of us do not regularly introduce others to our Savior. Doesn't that sound like that can't be possible? 98% do not regularly introduce others to our Savior. We have got to help turn that number around. It should be just the opposite. We all need to be more faithful to witness to Jesus, and the Lord will help us to do it, just as he did with the woman at the well. First, Jesus will help us overcome our inadequacies. Many times we feel just inadequate. God, I can't go talk to somebody about you because my lifestyle in the past was horrible. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. I'm not adequate. I can't testify for you. Well, there's nothing further from the truth. See, again, those thoughts are coming from yourself, from Satan, from somewhere else, but not from God. Because Jesus gave himself on the cross to forgive all those sins. They're gone. So you're not inadequate. You are very adequate to testify for Jesus, for what he's done for you. The Samaritan woman knew all about failure. She had not one or two, but 5 failed marriages. Her life had been broken by her own sin and by the people that she trusted. Her background was terrible, to say the least. But then she met Jesus, and her life was changed forever. Jesus Christ has the power to change lives, our lives, anyone's lives, because he is the Lord God Almighty, who died for us, who died for our sins, and rose again from the dead. He can overcome anything in the past, and will. Jesus can give us a fresh start. Or the gal that, and I don't know who this lady is, Ann Lamott, described a time when a fellow Christian member told about adopting a son through an organization called ASK. It stands for Adopt Special Kids. Part of the adoption process is to go through a whole checklist of things that you would accept or not accept in an adoption process. And part of that was, will you accept handicapped kids, whatever the handicap might be? Will you accept drug kids? Will you accept, you know, Down syndrome kids? Will you whatever? But a whole checklist to go through. So their pastor was helping them go through that work process and later told their church that God, too, has done the same. See, God went through that checklist, said, who will I adopt? Do I want just the perfect? No. What did he say? He said, no. I picked the handicap. I picked the handicapped kids, the sad kids, the selfish ones, the liars. I choose them. I choose them all. I choose the disobedient. I choose the terrified. I choose the self-indulgent ones. I choose the troublemakers, the damaged ones, and the unloved ones. I love them all. I choose them all. I will be a parent to them all. I will end their separation and bring them home to me. See, God isn't looking for the perfect, but he will make you perfect. That's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus died to take that punishment for our sins, not that we should bear it the rest of our life. Jesus can make us part of the family of God. The good news is something we're sharing, I think. So this woman at the well thought so too. She ran quickly, left her pot, took off, go back to town, to her hometown, where everybody knew her, knew what she was. Now, we talk about being afraid to go talk to our coworker, a neighbor, people we know. This woman was running back to town, unafraid. Well, she probably was. But she ran back to town to share, even though she knew everybody in town looked upon her as a horrible person. Jesus will help us overcome our inadequacies. He will help us overcome our inhibitions. Last week, Frank talked about what hinders us from doing Christ's work, from witnessing with others. Some of the responses were inconvenient times. Just never is the right time. The fear of rejection, talked about again a little bit today. The fear that we won't know enough. Boy, I don't know my Bible well enough to really tell somebody else. See, Jesus will overcome all those fears in witnessing too. Do you think this woman knew Scripture well? No. The only thing she knew was there was a Messiah coming. The woman was afraid to talk to the people in her city, I'm sure. How would they respond to her? Would they believe her even, being the reputation she had? Most women in that day went to the water to get their water later in the evening. This woman went to the well during the day at a time when nobody else would be there, she thought, because she didn't want to be seen by anybody else. She was that embarrassed. But who was there? Jesus Christ, to meet her. She must have been a little bit nervous when she walked up to that well and saw somebody else there, thinking, uh-oh, somebody sees me. 99 out of 100 people have fear when it comes to witnessing. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. The fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of saying something wrong. What if I don't say it right and I'm responsible for them not ever coming to God? See, all those fears don't come from God. Billy Graham had fears, believe that or not. As many times as he got up to preach the word to thousands of people, he still had fear. His hands got clammy. His knees started shaking before he preached. Billy Graham also said, "Every time I stand before a crowd, I feel so unworthy to preach the gospel. I feel fearful that I may say something or do something that may mislead someone because I'm talking to eternal souls who have the possibility of living in heaven forever." Boy, when you look at people in that perspective, it changes it a little bit. You're talking to their souls and hoping they'll be living forever with you in heaven. Almost everybody has those fears of witnessing, but Jesus can overcome fears. One of the best things to help overcome our fears is Scripture and praise. Gary or Deb, if you want to put up those scriptures for me. First one comes out of 2 Timothy 1:7. If you start feeling fears in a situation, witnessing or anything else, have these scriptures ready. This is just a few. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." See, it's not of God. Number two comes out of Isaiah 41. "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your hand, of your right hand, and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Another one out of Isaiah 43. "But now, this is what the Lord says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." You think God would put these promises out there if he didn't mean it? He says, do not fear. In verse 28 of our story with the woman at the well, it says she left her pot and rushed back into the city. That was about a half-mile trip. And she rushed back to tell the people about Jesus. I can kind of see her running back now. Half-mile run. She's got time to think about this. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I'm starting to get scared. Am I really doing this? Or was she running back thinking about Jesus Christ, the man she just met, saying, thank you, God, for letting me go to the well today that I met Jesus. Thank you, God, for letting me meet the Messiah. Thank you, God, for loving me even though you know all my sins. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you for giving me your living water. It's all about the perspective. We want to give praise to God and push all that other stuff aside in our brains and minds. Or do we want to focus on, what did I just do? Now, I got to go tell people? What am I going to say? How am I going to do? Whenever you feel fear or talking to others about Jesus, take a little time to praise the Lord. Maybe memorize a couple of those scriptures. Get that in your mind. The Lord will help you through that. Jesus will help you overcome your inhibitions. Number three, he will also help us overcome our inexperience. How many people feel like they are completely, totally prepared to go witness to others? Maybe you didn't hear me. How many, raise your hand, how many are completely, totally prepared to go witness to others? Wow. I'm glad you said that, because I totally agree. If you think you're totally, completely prepared, you're not doing it for God, because you're going to go on your own accord, not let the Spirit lead you. Talk about inexperience. The woman at the well had no experience. All she knew was the Messiah was coming someday. There she told Jesus, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. She knew the Messiah was there, but she had none of the wonderful things that God has given to us. She hadn't been to Sunday school. She hadn't been to church. She hadn't been to Bible study. She hadn't been to an evangelical conference. She'd been to none of those. Only place she met the Messiah was she'd been to the well. She had a personal, dynamic, life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you do too. Now, most of us think, well, no, mine's pretty boring. You know, I mean, hey, I grew up in the church, accepted Christ when I was 12. Been in the church ever since. Life's been pretty good. Pretty boring. No. How can it be boring when you say Jesus Christ has saved your soul, that you can have eternity with him forever? It's not boring. That's called witnessing. You have all the experience you need to do the things that she did. What did she do? She left her water pot, she went on her way into the city. God's work is never limited to these four walls. That's why we need to talk to people where we work, where we play, where we go, whatever we do. The woman at the well went. Then in verse 29, she witnessed. She said to the men in the city, come, see a man who told me all the things I've ever done. He must be the Messiah. He is the Christ. Notice she used her testimony of what she experienced with Jesus. That's all we need to do. That's what witnessing is about, is sharing your experience that took place. When Jesus is part of our life, he turns our troubles into testimonies. Isn't that true? I could probably ask you right now, give me a testimony about something God has changed in your life that has done for you. And I'll bet every single one of you can tell me something God's done for you. And every born-again Christian believer has their own unique testimony about how Jesus has worked in their lives. Believer, you probably didn't meet Jesus at the well, but you met him somewhere. It's part of your story. And he's changed your life. Now, wherever you go, Jesus goes with you, goes with me, and we can give a testimony about what he has done in our lives. Come, see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She asked. That's a pretty simple witness, isn't it? She didn't get any big theological things about religion or Jesus or anything. She says, I met this guy. He's the Christ. Come with me. Come see him for yourself. It's a pretty easy invitation. Craig Hamlin was this guy's name, and he tells a story about a missionary, a missionary's mom who talked to her children about the importance of sharing their faith with lost people. And then one day, 10-year-old Ryan was playing race cars with his friends. After several minutes of playing, mom hears this cry, Mom, come quick. Well, of course, she's thinking in her mind, somebody's got hurt or somebody's in trouble. Something's going on. So she says, what's going on? Well, we were playing. Let me back up here. Lost my. Isabel wants to accept Jesus into her heart, Ryan says. A mom looks at Ryan and thinks, I thought you guys were playing cars. Well, we were. But there was this big accident. And I asked Isabel, you know, if you die, do you know if you're going to heaven? And she said, I don't know. And so we had a little talk, and now she wants to accept Jesus. See, even in kids, they can be witnesses for Jesus Christ. If 10-year-old Ryan can do it, so can we. The last one, and he will help us overcome our indifference. This is probably one of the most important ones. Do we really see the importance of witnessing? And I dare to say we don't. At the beginning of, we started talking, we were talking just about the fear that we have. And that fear, I think, sets us apart from recognizing or understanding the real importance of witnessing, of sharing Jesus Christ to others. At the beginning of the story with the woman at the well, there's no evidence that the woman cared for people in her city. She went out of her way to avoid them even, let alone caring for them. And she had probably been burned by a lot of people in her town. She was cut off from most of, if not all of, the other people in her city. It was partly their fault and partly her fault. Then when the woman at the well found Jesus, found out that he cared about her, she began to care for others. That's what put her on the road to the city to go tell others. Because now she cared. She started loving other people with the kind of love that Jesus has for us. And she found out that she could make a huge difference in the world. Being as inadequate as she was, being as inexperienced as she was, she could make a difference. We see it starting in the verse 39 of the story where many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because the word of the woman who testified. because of her, blessings grew even more. In verse 40 and 42, it says, "So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. They said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" It wasn't necessarily her words that they were believing. But what did she do? She invited them to come and see Jesus. And they came. It's not us, as Frank put it last week, to save somebody. All we can do is invite them to come meet Jesus. The Lord's love ought to move us too. But often we look at the Lord's disciples in this, we look at the disciples in this story, and we see a little bit different picture than we would expect. See, the disciples, they had gone into town to go get some food while Jesus was there at the well. They were gone. They probably passed this lady on the road. Probably paid no attention to her. They went into town, got some food, came back. And here's Jesus talking with this woman. When they got back, they looked at Jesus kind of like in amazement, like, "What are you doing? Why are you talking to this person?" Disciples couldn't understand what was going on. They were kind of blinded to the situation. But they weren't showing any kind of care, any kind of love to this woman. It was more like, "Hey, we went and got food. Let's eat. Send her on her way." It wasn't showing any kind of love to her. They were kind of spiritually blinded to it. It's amazing that the people who should have cared the most didn't. Ooh, that can kind of stick me. Does it stick us in this body? The people who should care the most didn't. I hope not. They weren't focused on the opportunity. They were focused on their mission to go get food. Bill spoke a few weeks ago about opportunities. In fact, he even had us write down a few opportunities that maybe we had missed, that we let go by. How well do we look for those opportunities? How well do we really look for them? If we're honest with ourselves, we'll probably say, "Not very often. I mean, God, if you just drop it in my lap and I have no choice, maybe I'll deal with it. But if it's something that's kind of on the outskirts, I don't have time today. I got a zillion things to get done. Somebody else will take care of that. Call Bill." How well do we look for opportunities to share Jesus? We need to hear what the Lord told his disciples in verse 35. He says, "Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." What's that mean? Already white for harvest. Anybody want to explain that little line to me? Well, as you look across the field that's ready for harvest, a wheat field or whatever it might be, instead of being green, all of a sudden that field's going to turn white because it's ripe. It's ready for harvest. It's starting to dry up. The seeds are set. It's ready for harvest. It's time to go. The field is white, ready for harvest. Lift up your eyes. Recognize it. I want to do a little illustration here a minute. Everybody see this little whiteboard? Yeah? I'm going to show you my drawing skills, okay? Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Huh? What do you see? Bill, what do you see?
A black dot.
A black dot. Somebody else, what do you see?
A bullseye.
A bullseye. What do you see?
More white than black.
I think it's a person.
It's a person. Okay, Megan. You've been out in the woods a little too long. Any others? Others? A black dot. There was a gentleman that ran this little illustration for his company. He wanted to change the perspective of his sales group a little bit. So he asked him the same question. What do you see? First one said, I see a black dot. Second one said, well, yeah, it's a black dot. Third one, yep, that's what I see. I see a black dot. All 35 of the salespeople said the same thing. It's a black dot. Now, I think some of that might be because of the power of persuasion, if you want to call it that. Because whoever said it first then puts it in everybody else's mind. Yep, that's what I see. I see a black dot. Sales manager looked at him and for a moment, and then he said, isn't it strange that everybody saw a black dot on that big whiteboard? But none of you saw what was around it. A couple of you guys did. You saw the whiteboard. How do we look upon the people in our lives? How do we see them? Do we see them as, Vic, you're my friend. Vic, I like you. Ed, boy, you're my friend. How do we see people around us? How do we see people that are in our circle, if you want to call it that? This gentleman continued on and he said, Mr. and Mrs. Schoolteacher, in your classroom, do you see students? Or do you see fields that are white, ripe for harvest? Mr. Businessman, in your building, do you see employees? Or do you see fields that are white, ready for harvest? Mr. Doctor, in your office, do you see patients or do you see fields that are white for harvest? Mr. Coach, in your gym, do you only see athletes or do you see fields that are white for harvest? Student, in your school, do you see classmates or do you see fields that are white for harvest? Where do we focus our eyes? What do we see in people? Do we just see the person? Or do we see their soul? Do we see their hurt? Do we see the need for Jesus Christ? Where are we focused? Just on our daily, normal, worldly stuff? Cares of the world, the cares of life, or do we have our eyes focused upon Jesus? Looking for the opportunities to share your story, to share his love with others. If I could have the worship team work their way up here, I'd appreciate it. Our whole focus the last several weeks has been around one main verse. So Gary, if you'd like to put up Matthew 28. I think most of us, if not all of us, know it. It's called the Great Commission. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority under heaven. And those are important little words. All authority under heaven has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, Jesus isn't putting us out there saying, here, go tell this person about me. I'm going to stand over there. He's there with you. See, that verse right there isn't a suggestion. He doesn't say, you know, I hope you'll go out and tell others about me. I'd really like you to go out and tell others about me, to witness, to serve me in that way. No. It's not a request. It's a command. He says, go. Go in my name and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I will be with you, even to the end of the age. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you today for your word, that we have your scripture to be experienced by. Lord, that we can look to you. We can understand who you are. We can understand your principles and Lord, that we can just come before you knowing that you are our God, knowing that you've forgiven us for any of the inadequacies that we might have. Lord, that you're standing beside us as we talk with others about the love of Jesus Christ and saving power. Lord, I just pray right now that if there's anybody in this room that, Lord, has fear, fear of those inadequacies or fear of any one of the topics we talked about, that just the indifference of whether we should be witnessing or not, whatever it might be, Lord, that you would just be speaking to them right now and touching their hearts. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve you in this way as far as witnessing for you. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with part of a song we did there in the song set called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. The last verse, verse 3 in that, the words say, his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to the world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. I think that really sums up the message of the day. So let's stand, sing. We'll start with the chorus and then do that verse and then close with the chorus. Thank you for today. Thank you for a day of worship. Lord, I just ask that you would just bless each one that's here today and those in our family that aren't here today, Lord, that you would be watching over them and blessing them also. Lord, I just ask as we leave this building today that we go out, that we reach out to friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, strangers, whoever it might be, but the opportunities that you put in front of us. Lord, open our eyes. Lift up our eyes that we see those opportunities. Lord, just bless us. Thank you for this body. We thank you for your love for us. It's in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior, that we pray.